Here's Higdon, it sits up nicely for Michael Higdon! And what a start for Motherwell! But here's Malt, and he goes for it for Sutton! Magnificent Malt! Stephen Robinson celebrates! Motherwell, 2-1! Could that be the goal that puts him into the Betfred Cup final?
He's got Irwin. The supporting links from Ainsworth on the angle. Lionel Ainsworth fires home.
It's Lasley deep into stoppage time. Up goes Sutton. No foul given. Kerr and Reid is there to knock it in. The goal is given. Hesitation for Craig Reid, who scores his first ever goal in senior football. And what a moment for Motherwell.
Hello and welcome to the MSC podcast. It's been an exceptionally busy week in ML1. There's been a European victory, two European draws, a league defeat that takes us bottom of the table, and the record sale of David Turnbull to Celtic. I'm joined by Andy Patterson and Scott McClure to look back on all of the talking points. Guys, welcome along.
Evening, Andy.
Scott, I'll start with yourself. And as I mentioned, the week began, or last week ended, I suppose, with the Glentoran match at Fir Park, a 5-1 victory. The scoreline perhaps not telling the full story of the game. It was pretty much on edge until just after the hour mark. We got the opening goal through Callum Lang, and from there, it was a wee bit of a procession. Some really good goals, Stephen O'Donnell's in particular for the second one, an absolute cracker. And then a few confidence boosters as well, one for Liam Paulworth, one for Chris Long, and one for Tony Watt. So five different scorers. Progression to the next round, albeit against lesser opposition, you would have to say, and they were reduced to 10 men in the second half too. But you've got to be satisfied with the evening's work, particularly given we're going into that game very much short in confidence.
No, I think that's well put, but I think there'll still be a bit of negativity saying that the first kind of 60 minutes wasn't really up to much, but let's not forget that Glentoran were giving it their all. This was their big kind of chance to do something in the tournament, be a big scalp taking a Scottish team out at this stage. So they gave their all for the 60 minutes. And even when, if they didn't get a man sent off, I still think that the fitness levels, the kind of professionalism that we would have had, would have seen us through anyway. But to score five goals in the last half an hour, it could have been more. I thought I was happy. I said the last time we were talking about it, I wouldn't have been happy if we hadn't scored three, four, five goals, and I was delighted when they just kept on coming in. And I think it is important that all the strikers, obviously with the exception of Jordan Wright, he's been quite unlucky with regards to his goal ratio this year with goals chopped off. But I like to look at the Lang in particular. I think he looks quite lively. I don't know if him and Long are really, really similar. That's what my perception is. But I quite like the two of them playing kind of through the middle together for the time that they did. I think they caused a kind of fair bit of problems. And I already had a couple of chances, but at no time did I ever think we were under any real stress. And on to the next round, we're really hopeful for more of the same. It's just absolutely gutting that we can't get over for a kind of wee midweek party in Belfast at Coleraine. I'm sure Colin O'Neill will make an appearance at somewhere. I'm surprised he's not been over social media, or I've maybe just missed it so far.
Yeah, I'm sure in the weeks that will follow, he'll certainly manage to get his point across and blag his way into the match, I'm sure. Andy, I think there was positives all over the park, but in particular for me, the performance of Chris Long, who I've been a wee bit harsh on in the early stages. I think he's come back and looked somewhat disinterested, somewhat off the pace, but he really proved me wrong with an excellent performance on Thursday night. It was also a return for Liam Paulworth, who hadn't featured since the opening day against Ross County from the start. He obviously had the void of David Turnbull. He's removed from the team, and we required players to step up. This was an opportunity for Liam Paulworth, and I think it's one that he took. We'll go on to talk about the Celtic game later on in the podcast, but the only thing for me in Sunday that let him down against Celtic was his set-piece deliveries. But I thought it was a very, very accomplished performance, and he looked back to showing signs of the player that he was last season.
Paul's a player I've enjoyed watching since he came to the club. Came quite highly regarded last season. He came with a good number of assists in his final season at Inverness as well. So it kind of hinted at some promise there. And you know, he slotted in really well last season. Towards the kind of point where the league was suspended, he'd seemed to kind of tailed off slightly. But I think it was one of these things. He surely knew the circumstances whenever he joined. And the Ross County game kind of illustrated that it was going to be a bit of a struggle to fit the two of them in at the one time. And I think he was a bit unfortunate that he perhaps didn't see a wee bit more game time in the games after that, as kind of Turnbull was reintroduced to the team, although they did say that he was 100% and all the rest of it. But certainly good to see him coming back in. As you say, the kind of the downside, and as it has been as well, with Turnbull to a same degree as well, that the set pieces have been really something we need to improve. There's nothing more frustrating than a game. I know we're going to go into it and talk about it in greater detail anyway later on at Celtic, when you get so few opportunities to hurt teams like that away from home, to see your free kicks and your corners not even get by the first man or going over the full course of the box and away to the other side. You just can't waste opportunities like that. But I'm sure, given the fact that it was only second, kind of 90 minutes back in the team, that hopefully a wee bit more work and accuracy and fluency with the team as they work in these, that we'll hopefully get some reward for the kind of numerous corners that we appear to be winning week in, week out. But all in all, yeah, really, really happy to see Paulworth back in, and I'm sure that he can deliver. Going back to kind of Chris Long, I think he's benefited a couple of times as well for the type of defence splitting passes that Paulworth can deliver as well. And hopefully that's going to be a benefit as the season goes on too.
Yeah, I think you could see almost the weight come off Chris Long's shoulders as soon as that ball hit the net. Against Glentoran, it was a long time coming. Obviously, there was almost 6 months had passed since he scored the opening goal at Tynecastle against Hearts. So, yeah, it was good to see him getting on the score sheet. And I think his overall performance earned him the Man of the Match award. It was a very positive showing. And I really do believe that if he can get that confidence, he seems very much a confidence player, then he'll be a real asset and a real handful for defences. And given the fact that we've not managed to score in every one of our league games, with the exception of one, that's certainly something that bodes well for us. We'll talk more about European football, because that is the positive. We'll finish on a negative, but we'll continue on the positive side of it. Next up, Kilrain. Scott, you've mentioned that unfortunate that we can't make the journey to Northern Ireland for the tie. When we looked at the potential draws, I think that was the one that we would have hoped for, to be honest, given that we had played Northern Irish opposition and disposed of them relatively comfortably. So it is Kilrain next. Away from home, it will be more difficult, and they've taken a big scalp in Maribor in the previous round, so they'll fancy it. They'll definitely look at our form and think that there's every possibility at home they can get a result. But looking at it from a Motherwell point of view, we've got to regard this as a fixture we've got a decent chance of progressing in.
I mean, if you looked at the draw and the teams that we could have got, that's the team that you'd have picked. For once, the draw's been really kind to us, albeit it's away from home, but we should be expecting to win again and win easily. I think that our class did show against Glentoran, and from reading some kind of posts on social media, that Glentoran are actually in better shape than Kilrain. But listen, I watched a bit of the the Corian game, because I think after the Glentoran game, it came apparent that if Corian had won, that we'd have been a seeded club. So it added a wee bit of interest. It's impossible for us to make a judgment on the extra time that I've seen, but obviously there's a fair bit of desire in the team, and I'm sure that it'll be even more so against a kind of all-British affair. I'm looking forward to the game. As you say, it is a positive thing. It was good watching Willerwell back in Europe, albeit in different circumstances. It is really, really frustrating that fans can't be there. It would be a great away day for any fan supporting Willerwell to take the short trip over on the boat. I'm sure it would have been an eventful trip. But getting back to the actual football, I think we should win pretty comfortably. Again, I think it will be pretty similar tactic to the Glentoran game, where they'll come out all guns blazing, try and get an early goal, and then our kind of fitness, professionalism, and just cutting the edge will take over on the end. So I think it will be quite a tight game initially, and then we'll maybe come away with a kind of 2-3-0 victory. Obviously, the other benefit will be that our manager will probably know the Corian team pretty well, so that'll stand us in good stead also.
That's an interesting point, Andy. The fact that Stephen Robinson was keen to talk up Glentoran in the previous round, he knew a lot about their players, he knew a lot about their manager. You would expect that his knowledge will be fairly similar in this one as well, which takes away that unexpected element that we would have perhaps had we got the Faroe East side or if we had drawn Gothenburg.
Yeah, but that works both ways as well with the Corian manager, you know, being formerly St Mirren boss a couple of seasons ago. So whilst there has been a fair turnover of players at Fir Park, he's obviously going to know the kind of style of play that Robinson likes his team to adopt. So that is possibly going to be negated to a certain extent, but definitely we can't grumble at the opportunities that have been bestowed upon us in terms of the familiarity of the Northern Irish League, the Northern Ireland players that Robinson worked with, the fact that his former employer he worked under Barraclough, so there's a contact there as well to take advantage of the fact that the games are accessible. I think they've both been covered their games in BBC, so they may still be on iPlayer as well for an opportunity to do a wee bit of scouting in the comfort of his own living room. So that's certainly going to be beneficial for us. I think it's also helpful, the fact that for the last, not so much this season, but two or three seasons beforehand, we've actually travelled to Northern Ireland for pre-season preparations. So the journey's not going to be unknown to the team. The standard the opposition, albeit again that it's pre-season friendlies that they've played them in. We've played, I think, Crusaders, Linfield, even some of the younger players may well that are still there. Perhaps I can't remember if Alan Campbell was involved in it. I certainly remember Turnbull, although he's departed. But there was the Challenge Cup game against Crusaders as well. So there's a whole lot of familiarity there that we're able to sort of take advantage of. Plus, on the back of having just played one of their kind of league opponents as well. So again, we get a feel for the standard of player, things that we maybe need to look out for if there was any unexpected surprises, perhaps the calibre of player that they anticipated facing and such. So there's a whole range of benefits there that, as you say, if you'd happen to chance upon a kind of Gothenburg even or someone of that ilk or someone from far-flung parts of Eastern Europe, that you may have absolutely no chance of getting some proper scouting details on. So it's all to our benefit, and you just have to hope we take advantage of that.
Yeah, Glentoran, fifth place in the Northern Irish Premiership last season. Corian finished second, but only 4 points a difference between fifth and second place. So that gives you a wee bit of a gauge. Glentoran qualified for the Europa League I believe, by winning the Irish Cup. Even though that game was played in late July, I'm sure that still was the game that secured their qualification. Kind of like the FA Cup with Arsenal, that would have been the game that sealed their qualification for the Europa League. So we then move on to the third qualifying round draw, which followed the day after. That threw up a potential trip to Albania or to Israel. The favourites for that game will be Hapoel Beersheva. They're playing against FC Lashi, I think is how it's pronounced, an Albanian side that I know very little about, apart from doing a wee bit of homework following the draw. Beersheva played Celtic back in 2016, lost first leg 5-2, and then almost clawed it back in Israel, winning the game 2-0, so going out 5-4 in aggregate. Scott, it's not a glamour tie, that's for sure. But again, it's maybe one that we look at and think, win that, you're in the playoffs, and who knows what happens. That would obviously be a two-legged tie, and also a huge money spinner for the club as well. So we'd keep on mentioning the fact that how frustrating it is that fans aren't able to get into the stadiums, but that maybe detracts from the fact that as you go deeper and deeper into this competition, I know we've only won one game and progress through one round, but if you can get through two or three and into the playoffs, then it's highly lucrative for the football club.
No, it certainly is. I mean, it's one of the ones, a double-edged sword. You look at Aberdeen's draw, David, really difficult draws, but if we're going to get put out with a kind of Israeli team or a Albanian team, I can't help but think I would still like to stay, maybe have played like a sport in Lisbon. But that being said, if you'd said to me before the draw, again, who would you pick? It would have probably been that side of the draw that we'd have been looking for. So, as you say, it's the complete opposite for what we're used to now, because we know that what we're roughly going to expect when we're playing kind of Northern Irish opposition, due to the knowledge that the coaching staff and whatnot will have. But, I mean, nobody, I'd be surprised if any of the three years could name a player for any of these two clubs. And it's getting to the stage now where, I mean, as I say, that they've beat Celtic, so they're obviously, a couple of years ago, they're obviously not any mugs. I mean, in the past, if you've got one of these teams in European competition, I think the Scottish team would have been favourites, but now there's no easy game at all in Europe. And I mean, you've just got to look. I think during I was watching the game on Saturday, Sunday, and they were talking to Gordon Strachan about some of his European exploits, and it just shows you that these teams are really on the up, and it seems to be that I don't mean we're on the down, but we're not as crucial a nation as what we once were. But listen, I'll be interested to see what the odds are of the game, who's the favourites, because it's anybody's game if we do get there, which I fully expect we will do.
Andy, I keep on kind of referring to this as an exciting process, but it's a step into the unknown as well, a great opportunity to experience a real pressure game on the big stage. I know neither of the sides that we could potentially play in the third qualifying round are household names, but it is a big game when you get into that qualifying round and you're really mixing it with some properly elite sides. You've got the money and the revenue from qualifying for that stage, which I believe, if you're losing the playoff rounds, it's €300,000. I say I believe that. I've just actually checked it up, so I know that's the case. And then, obviously, if you do get a kind of blockbuster tie, you've got the revenue that comes with that as well. It's a big occasion, and I know that we'll all collectively be quite downbeat on the start of the league season, but this is a wee escape that really can change the dynamic of a season somewhat.
It's certainly got the potential to do that. in quite a dramatic way if we were fortunate enough to actually get to the group stages. But even just now, you hope, leaving aside the financial aspect of it, you hope that there's going to be a development, some sort of learning process there from the players taking on teams of a fresh kind of style of play, perhaps, a different formation, some different tactics employed, different levels of physicality. There's a whole raft of things that you can take from a game, and the hope is that it's not just one game and then that's it. You hope that there's going to be two or three, so that you build on it, you gain in confidence as a player, as a group, that you've been able to overcome these different teams. The experience of going away, whether that it helps boost your camaraderie in some kind of form, as was mentioned in some of the pre-season trips. There's a whole different set of things that could be taken from the games that are different from going 20 minutes in a bus down the road to Parkhead. And you just hope that the learning curve is there, and that they develop so that even if you don't happen to meet your kind of aspirations this year, if you are fortunate enough to make it back into European competition in the next year or two again, that you can dip into that experience and you're better prepared for the next time it comes around. It also raises the profile of the club as well, which certainly does us no harm when you're going to actually sell players, and you can list as well, we've got such and such are now internationalists, has gained it their time during our club, and they've featured in Europe in X amount of fixtures, and it just adds to the kind of stature of the players and the kind of club as a whole. I've always enjoyed seeing Motherwell feature in Europe. It's something completely different, and I know a lot of fans are a bit down on it, the kind of the drag of knowing that more often than not that you're one draw away from just going out of the competition without scoring a goal in some instances in some of your games in the past, and the excitement is fleeting before you're kind of quite quickly putting your place somewhat. But no, I've always enjoyed seeing Motherwell in Europe, and kind of long may that continue this season and future seasons beyond.
Let's turn our attention to domestic matters, and certainly in terms of positivity, the levels aren't quite as high there as they have been in the European competitions. Sunday brought a 3-0 defeat to Celtic, pretty much as you would expect. Celtic had a lot of the ball without creating a great deal, but James Forrest opens the scoring just before half-time. We huffed and puffed for a wee bit in the second half, but Celtic were offering a good bit more threat. They also had made the bold decision and brought on some strikers as well, and in the end, the quality did show. It ended 3-0, Scott. A goal in injury time, really putting a bit of a harsh reflection on the scoreline. That being said, we didn't offer a great deal going forward. We were well organised, fairly well disciplined, but we got pretty much what we expected to get from the game.
I think the frustrating thing that I took for it was that I wasn't overly impressed with Celtic. I thought Celtic were pretty poor, and I felt as if we looked a bit scared that we were going to be wanting to hide in, I think, with some half chances without really threatening too much. The only shot on target I really remember being Liam Grimshaw. As you say, it is what we expected. Is it an opportunity missed? Probably not. I mean, I think they still had a few gears to go if we'd, for example, scored in the first half. I think they would have upped it, although they would have been under a bit more pressure. I think it's difficult. I thought it was ideal that we were playing there with an empty stadium. They'd just been put out of Europe, so potentially they did have a point to prove. And with added bit of interest, obviously with David Turnbull being on the bench as well, it really just was a a bit of a washout, to be honest. Didn't enjoy it. Didn't ever think that we've got them on the ropes or anything like that at all. Actually thought that Mugabe played well until he had his slip. And I've been one of his biggest critics, but I think he's actually done all right since he come back in. There'll never be a game goes by where I've not got my heart in my mouth every time he's on the ball. But defensively, he's looked all right. I think Declan Gallagher's had a particularly slow start. And I think in spells, O'Donnell's looked really well. Our midfield three. And I think the real issue is that we don't know what our best forward line is. As we've seen that there was an outcry for Tony Watt, and something that we merited after he seemed to kind of change the game when he came on against Glentoran. So I don't think there's a massive negative because it was really what was expected. I think the international breaks came at the right time for us for a change as well. So we can really just start afresh and hopefully start our season with a couple of victories. And as we've just spoke about, get a victory taking us into the European games. It just was a lackluster game in Sunday. Again, I think part of that is that there was no atmosphere and stuff, but again, that's another debate. But listen, I wasn't overly, as it wasn't a surprise, I wasn't as down, put it this way, as what I was against Hamilton Accies. We probably got what we expected and what we deserved with a couple of semi-decent performances in that.
Andy, a few concerns in terms of the first one. I look at Bevis Mugabe, who was going to go on and score the goal of the century when he went on that marauding run through the middle, only to be cruelly siphoned down by Scott Brown, took a yellow card, and what you would refer to as a good booking. Now, I heard Jock Brown in the commentary say, it's allowed. Well, it's not allowed within the laws of the game, but it's only a booking in terms of the laws of the game. And he was saying that he really doesn't think it belongs at all. He thinks that it should be a red card because it is that cynical and that kind of... I could completely get what he was meaning, but at the same time, I think if there was to be straight red cards issued for cynical challenges, we would end up with games being abandoned because of the number of sending offs every game. But the same happens at the other end. Callum McGregor's running through and we don't take the opportunity just to wipe him out and break up the attack. Maybe a lack of street smart there in terms of just gamesmanship and doing what winning teams do. To be fair, it obviously led to a goal right before half time. It changes the landscape of the game so drastically. And I'm not saying that if we had taken out Callum McGregor as he ran through, that we would have went on to win the game or even get a point, but we would have certainly went into 0-0 at half time, and who knows what happens from there. The second one is that continued lack of attack and spark. We're still struggling for goals badly amongst our strikers, not one Scottish Premiership goal. David Turnbull scored one of our goals. He's now left the club. So you've actually only got one player, Alan Campbell, who has scored in this squad in the league this season. Six games in, it's not great.
No. I can see where you're coming from in terms of the decision to allow McGregor going through unchecked. Certainly, I was screaming at the telly to take him out, and it wasn't helped by the kind of joking and the edge of the box and allowing Forrest to get his shot away either. But it's one of these things. I mean, your player's obviously there in the moment, and they may think that they're doing enough by delaying, perhaps, and there's someone behind them, whatever it's going to be covering. You know, ideally, I would have taken them out as well. You know, take the booking and regroup, and hopefully defend the set piece well. I guess in terms of the attacking element, I think we really need to wait and see what we do against St Johnstone to get an indication of what the kind of thoughts are going forward. As it currently stands, it seems feasible to have the two up forward, up top, to kind of increase the amount of bodies that's there in and around the box. You just hope that there's a fullback emerges and is fit pretty quickly. As it does, kind of, if you have the three kind of central defenders in there and you've got O'Donnell's attacking ability, which we've seen demonstrated in his appearances thus far, with, you know, the opportunity in the box at Easter Road, getting his goal away from distance against Glentoran. And we know that Carroll had good attacking threat. You know, he scored a couple of goals last season, albeit again for free kicks perhaps, but he assisted in a few goals as well. And it would be good to think that if these guys have got license to get up and down the wings, that may give Robinson the kind of ammunition that he always goes on about, the number of crosses that are in the box, whilst at the same time you would hope that wee bit more solidity in the centre of the park as well. So that kind of seems like the kind of sensible formation to sort of try that on the back of the kind of Glentoran outcome. But we weren't disastrous against Celtic. It was your run of the mill Celtic away game. I think we've seen it time and time again. The scoreline was actually to a certain extent slightly flattering to them. I thought 2-0 would have been a fair outcome, and that would have been pretty much par for the course for quite a lot of the kind of games against like Rangers and Celtic away kind of recent times. And let's see what they kind of do, whether somebody's back for the St Johnstone game, see what formation we do, and let's see what the kind of the two up top does, if it's effective against teams that's more of our level.
And that defeat took us to bottom of the table, Scott. Concerned? It seems very early to be reaching for the panic button, but there is little getting away from the fact that the form in 2020 domestically has been very, very poor. I still believe that Stephen Robinson is the man to turn this around, but this hasn't been a good start to the season. There's no getting away from that.
No, it's been absolutely brutal. There is nothing else that you can say. We can't. There's nothing you can say to other than the last half an hour against a 10-man Glentoran team. But I'm certainly not anywhere near the panic button at the moment. Although, if we do come out and have another Hamilton Accies performance at home to St Johnstone, then I think there will be pressure will start to mount, because if we go again, don't score a goal at home, how long can this continue? I have no idea who will play for the start. I think the defence picks itself just due to the bodies that are left. I think the midfield three will be the same, and it really just seems to be who is going to be defensive players. Personally, I would probably have Watt in the middle with Long and Lang on either side, but I really don't know. I've not been overly impressed with Mark O'Hara. Maybe that's a bit harsh if I come back, but there really isn't really anybody else that's going to come in and take his position. We're definitely going to be missing David Turnbull, but I said in the last podcast that certainly I think we depended too much on him. And I think now's the time for other players other than Alan Campbell to step up to the mark. But we really need to hit the ground running against... If we get beat, I hate to say even if we draw, I think it's too early in the season to say must win. But if we don't win the game, there will be a massive amount of pressure on the manager. I fully expect us to go and win. I'm confident that it's just been a slow start, and I think we'll go on and put a wee run together, get a couple of wins that we don't expect. We always seem to do all right when we get up to Pittodrie and stuff like that. So I'm still really confident that we've got the right type of players there. It's just the concerning thing is that that we don't really seem to have a kind of a partnership or a first pick. I mean, probably if you said to the three of us just now, who would your front three be? I would be shocked if any of us picked the three the same. And I think that's part of the problem.
Andy, we'll talk about David Turnbull. We gave the transfer to Celtic a lot of coverage in the last podcast, so we won't go into it as much as we did then, but the deal to Celtic was completed on the day of the Glentoran game. Possibly good timing in terms of the announcement as well, because it kind of deviated away from the speculation over the transfer fee and such like, because everyone was in the European mode. We were looking forward to the big game in the evening, and then to get a result as well. The talking point was about us and not about a Celtic player as he is now. But I think the words spoken from those within the club and also from the supporters in the main as well were all positive. A guy that carried himself and conducted himself fantastically well during his time at Motherwell. A success story of our academy. You saw Jake Hastie talking about it before the Glentoran game, that him, David Turnbull and Alan Campbell were all ball boys for the Panathinaikos game back in 2012. They sat in the David Cooper stand watching the games after they played on a Saturday morning. Motherwell Football Club has been a massive part of David Turnbull's life. His contribution to Motherwell in the last couple of seasons has been fantastic. He did the right thing, obviously, by signing that contract, which ensured we received a record fee for him. It felt like it was the natural time for him to move on. As Scott has already alluded to, I think the dependence on David Turnbull was growing on a game-by-game basis. And it felt somewhat that the shackles were off our players in the game against Glentoran, where they had that opportunity to express themselves and not maybe just get the head up and look for David Turnbull and expect him to do something. This could be a positive, or as much a positive slant as I can put on losing a player who I'm certain will go on to have a fantastic career and hopefully will play a massive part for the Scottish national team as well.
Well, I think ultimately you just have to say last season, look, you're as fantastic a talent as he is, without him playing but for a couple of substitute appearances towards the very end before the season was curtailed, you've got yourself into a position where you're in third place. So you demonstrated over a number of months that you've got the capability there to play without him. So in reality, it should be quite a straightforward message that Robinson gives them, and it's there to be seen what they achieved without him. So clearly, I mean, a player of that calibre you would love to have in your team, but there's an argument there that sometimes that single focus can be detrimental to other players, where some of them maybe are a wee bit inhibited, or the easy option is taken, be given the ball to the kind of, you know, the more gifted player in the team, whereas we're more of a collective, arguably, without someone of his kind of skill set and his calibre, perhaps. But it's there to be seen what we achieved last season, and you hope that they can pick that up on a more regular basis as more of a collective, rather than seeking one individual to do the damage for us.
Scott, in terms of the transfer fee, we don't know it exactly. Stephen Robinson has mentioned that he doesn't expect to see any of the revenue from that transfer deal. Does that surprise you? Where would you like to see the money spent in terms of, would you like a new player? Would you like to see stadium facilities, which we'll not go into the full, should we move from Fir Park debate, because that's a full podcast in itself. You've also got the opportunity to perhaps advance our training facilities, which is something that many teams around us in the league table have done, and they'll hopefully see the benefits from in the years to come. I would like to see us improve our academy facilities, given the academy time and time again is developing these young talents and making them first team ready, a real chain of success for the Motherwell Academy. You would like to see that brought to even more fruition and the facilities to be improved to the extent that that conveyor belt and these guys involved in the academy system have got the best possible chance of succeeding.
The short term answer is, I think every fan would look at a short term answer and say that they would like the playing squad invested in. Obviously, we're not daft. We know that the whole sum, whatever it was, isn't going to be invested in new players. But as this situation continues where we've not scored a goal, I think that's going to put the club under increased pressure. I think we do need to get the kind of training facilities as well. I think that in itself, if you've got a kind of a standalone training facility, I think that would actually help to bring players into the club in the future. I haven't seen other clubs that have got similar. I mean, obviously Dale Park's decent, sort of right on our doorstep, but I just think it makes more sense that it is invested there. The stadium itself, as you say, there's no point in getting into a debate. I like the stadium the way it is. I don't know, it's just character. I'm a bit old-fashioned, so I'm not overly worried about that. I would like to see a couple of new faces coming in. I think we need to look at the playing side of things. We've always seemed to have an issue at the left-back. Jake Carroll's injured, we've got Charles Dunn. McGinley's played one game where he played all right. He played against Rangers and he wasn't. I would like us to go out and try and get a kind of established left-back. I think Andy mentioned that earlier on. I think that with O'Donnell on the right and a decent left back would make all of the difference. But listen, David Turnbull's a thing of the past now. I think we just need to move on for it. And I'm pretty sure that the club will invest it the best way possible. And it is that wee bit reassurance that if the shit does hit the fan and this continues into kind of Christmas time, that potentially they'll just need to put one of their plans in the back burner and go out and sign a player that is going to be a game changer for us in the kind of next transfer window. But touch wood that doesn't get to that stage and everything's rosy in the garden with a new training facility and everything's Jake Carroll's back fighting fit.
Andy, I'll give you the final point as we wrap up here. St Johnstone next up in the Premiership at Fir Park a week on Saturday. Scott's already alluded to the fact he believes that it's maybe too early to be a must win, but it's not that far off it. St Johnstone are a really streaky team. In fact, they've been a streaky team for quite some time now, but I think the last couple of seasons they've been more streaky than usual. They had a horrendous start last season and maybe a start that can give us some confidence in the fact that it looked like they couldn't buy a win. And then under Tommy Wright, as they so often did, they managed to grind out some results and turn it round. And in the end, actually finished the season in the top six. I would expect a very difficult game. We've got a bit of a mixed record when it comes to home fixtures against St Johnstone. Looking back at last season's games, we won at McDermott Park, then won comprehensively at Fir Park before losing late on in the game at McDermott Park just a couple of weeks before the season was curtailed. Andy, I would expect it to be a difficult game. As I said, they've had a bit of a mixed start to the season, but got a good home victory against St Mirren last time out. We do need to get that first 3 points on the board and start looking up the way. I would say that in the eyes of many, this would be regarded as a decent opportunity to do just that.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get with St Johnstone. I've seen plenty of kind of variance in score lines from, I think, 5-1 wins to 5-1 losses, and not so many seasons apart. A couple of good wins as well at Fir Park, and a few kind of painful late defeats as well. So there's a full mixed bag in there. They've got their new manager in place, some continuity perhaps with a face that's well known to them, and he may well still be bedding in and trying different things as he kind of gets his feet under the table somewhat. But in terms of ourselves, you really need to see something. We need signs of hope. We need 3 points, regardless of whether we get signs of hope. And in all honesty, the performances haven't been as desperate as a team that are sitting bottom of the table. But that brings its own concerns when you think if the performances don't even come, if you're not getting the points, then it's that then takes away some more of your hope. So hopefully we do get a result there, and you'll begin to push on. You sometimes look at the table and think, well, we're not too far away, but you know, as every other team starts getting a win and nudging a wee bit further and further ahead, and you know, you just need that win in the league to settle everybody down. And of course we've got the kind of European games and stuff coming up as well, and you want to go into those in a positive frame of mind where at all possible. But well, first and foremost, just get the win and go off the foot of the table, and let's start building from there if we can.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's important not to look too far ahead as well. Fixtures away to Aberdeen and then at home to Rangers will follow the St Johnstone game. So some tough tests ahead for sure. But it could look a lot different with 3 points on the board by beating St Johnstone. And maybe you fancy your chances of getting something going to Pittodrie, as we've done quite a few times in recent seasons. Guys, thank you very much for tonight.
No bother.
You've been listening to MFC Podcast. We'll be back following the St Johnstone game. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
Yeah.